Today, I'm going to invite you to think about your emotional connection to eating. Okay, so I want you to think about, like, is mealtime something that you really, like, savor? It's your sacred time. You get a lot of enjoyment and pleasure from sitting down to have a meal. Or is it the other end of the spectrum where mealtime is not pleasant, like it feels more like a battleground or kind of a prison versus that enjoyment phase? Because it's going to have an impact on your satisfaction with food. That's what I'm covering as I continue on Principle 6 in the Intuitive Eating Workbook called Discover the Satisfaction Factor. Today, we're going to look at emotions. You're listening to Healthy Mompreneurs Get Wealthy podcast with Kathy Richards, RD. As a registered dietitian with over 20 years of experience, I've helped thousands of people get healthier and ultimately wealthier, and now it's your turn, busy mompreneur. In this podcast, I'll be sharing with you my self-love journey back to health after years of stress and challenges, including living with a spouse with mental illness, suffering a concussion, and living with post-concussion syndrome, illnesses in my family, a death in my family, divorce, and more illnesses in my family, and all this with 3 kids under the age of 9. If anyone can show you how to thrive and not just survive through challenges and setbacks, it's me. All right, and welcome to episode 43 in my Intuitive Eating series. Today's episode is called Your Emotional Connection to Eating. And for those of you who are new and are just joining us, welcome. I'm Kathy Richards. I'm an RD, a registered dietitian, and I focus on helping people heal their emotional eating through becoming intuitive eaters. So I'm sharing the content, the 10 principles to become an intuitive eater from the workbook that was released by Evelyn Tribal and Elise Resch, 2 dietitians who have pioneered the area of intuitive eating. It's not new. It's been around since the 90s, and there's quite a few studies now that support this idea of going back to the basics, listening to our body and responding to our hunger and satiety cues, and really following, letting the body lead and getting back to that versus restriction, deprivation, rules, counting, and all these things. So welcome to the episode. I can see on my podcast dashboard that there's been a bump up in listeners. So I'm so happy to have you guys join me. So if you have any questions, let me know. If you want me to cover any specific topics, let me know that as well, because I'm always open to adding in some episodes. So we're on episode 43, and since episode 38, I've been talking to this principle number 6, discover the satisfaction factor. So today I want you to think about that emotional connection to eating, and I want you to think about what happens at the mealtime. Okay, so I'm going to keep this episode short like I always do. I know we don't have a lot of time. I like to keep my episodes short and simple and give you some really good takeaways to take with you. And it's interesting. I have a few client lessons or client stories that I'll probably share as we go through this topic today, because it's something that actually comes up a bit more often than you might think. The emotional connection to eating and some of the things that come with that. So stay tuned and I'll walk you through that. So what's been going on over here at KathyRichardsRD.com headquarters? Not much. Pretty quiet weekend. I had some medical cosmetics, I guess, from a friend of mine. So I'll share about that in a while. It's just another form of taking care of myself and getting my skin as healthy as I can, you know, as we age. Nothing wrong with aging. I just want to have a little bit of help so I don't look so tired But I'll come back and I'll share more about that. It's sunny, it's beautiful today. The pool, the saltwater heated pool in my complex just opened, so I know the kids will be so excited to go swimming this week when they come back. And yeah, just thinking about meal prep and getting ready for the week. We're wrapping up here too. Next week, I think, is our last week of school, and then we've got the kids full time. They're only in a few camps this year. I took 3 weeks of vacation, and their dad has taken a few weeks, so then they're in 3 weeks of camps, and they're home. They're home for the first week, so hopefully I'll get on here to do my episode, but who knows. All right, so that's enough about me. So I want to dive into the emotional connection to eating. So I want you to go back to the question I asked at the beginning. Like, how do you feel at mealtime? Is it sacred? Is it enjoyment? Do you really savor your food? Do you find enjoyment in eating? Or is it kind of like a prison or a battleground when it comes to mealtime? How does the emotional atmosphere feel when you sit down to eat? Okay, so it could be that it's chaotic, right? It could be you've got kids and everyone's in a hurry and you're trying to get lunches made in the morning and there's just chaos all around, right? So that's normal and that's fine. I'm not going to say that I have the opportunity every day, as much as I would love to sit down with my three kids. Okay, I have to choose what I do and balance it, right? So I live with post-concussion syndrome. That means at night, you know, to get supper dishes done, lunch boxes cleaned and ready for the morning, that means maybe I sleep a little bit longer, or I don't have that time to get up before the kids in the morning, because I need quite a bit of sleep as well, to set up my eating environment to be less chaotic. I can't, you know, if it's a point of like the table's covered in clutter and, you know, your phone's going off and you're checking notifications, you've got to answer work emails and stuff, maybe you can take that chaos and calm it down a bit, right? So you could get up a bit earlier, maybe clean the table off the night before, have the kids do that, maybe before they go to bed, turn off notifications on your phone. And what I often do is actually have something small that might look more like a snack while I'm making the kids' lunches and we're talking and things. I'm at the kitchen island, but they're sitting talking to me, and breakfast is one meal where I don't care if everyone sits together. I just want everyone to eat. And if it's more relaxed, if one child comes down and they kind of have their breakfast, I find that's a bit more connection. It's a bit more relaxing for them as well. And then sometimes that's how the morning goes. Yeah. So then I could come back in and sit and enjoy a relaxed meal for my breakfast after I take the kids to school, right? So another thing to consider about that emotional atmosphere at mealtime, is there tension? Okay, so is there tension in the room? Is there arguing or unhappiness? Is there something that has to be dealt with? And believe me, for years I ate in an atmosphere of tension, right? I was always trying to kind of keep the kids occupied and under, you know, the radar of, you know, how should I put that, of people that didn't have as much patience or really, you know, were feeling frustrated easily. And there was, oh, you could have cut there with a knife. But tension has an influence, right? So if we think back to in episode 42, I talked about how not paying attention at the mealtime can actually change how much we absorb, right, at the meals, the nutrients. So there was a study on attentiveness, and it's from the Health at Every Size book on page 196. She references that. And what they had was they had some participants in the study consume a mineral drink under relaxing conditions. Okay, it was sodium and chloride, I think. And they completely absorbed the two minerals during that relaxed intake of that beverage. Then they had those same people exposed to stressful situation or conditions, as they called it in the study, which was really two people talking at them in their opposite ears at the same time. Okay. And in that place, their bodies completely shut down and they went from 100% absorption to zero. So I'm going to say that again. They went from 100% absorption to zero. Okay, so that really shows you the effect of the atmosphere, distraction, the effect of tension. Like all those things are going to negatively impact the emotional connection to eating that you're having, but also your body's ability to use those nutrients. Okay, so just to have awareness, right? Are people arguing during mealtime? You know, and that might happen. I see with my three kids, and a suggestion that we can implement there is to set up a non-argument zone during meals, right? So if my kids are arguing and bickering and bugging each other, I'm often going to have that person that's instigating that leave the room, because it doesn't create an atmosphere of healthy eating and calmness and relaxation, right? They can come back and finish their meal after. But if we can set up that rule and the expectation that this is a non-argument zone, it can really improve that emotional atmosphere at mealtimes. The next one, is there enough food available, right? So we can feel stress if we don't know what's going to be available or if there's going to be enough for everyone. So that comes back to a little bit of meal prep. But it's hard. I'm not going to lie right now. I have a client today who, yeah, my job is to try to figure out how I can stretch $130 to feed their family for the week. So that is my challenge, and I will do that at a grocery store. I'll go on Wednesday morning, so I'll update everyone on stories about how that went. Are people criticizing what or how much you eat? This is another one that comes up often with my clients, especially ones that have disordered eating. We might be working through that. Is there criticism happening at the meal? And there's a great dietitian on Instagram, Binge Eating Dietitian, I think is her handle. And she shows a lot of, you know, conversations between two people, which is herself, right? About like, yeah, no, thank you. I don't need you to comment on how I'm eating. I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat this. Or yes, I just had supper, but I can still choose to go out and have ice cream with my friend. So it's really about setting boundaries. I've had clients write letters to their family members, because that's easier sometimes than speaking directly to them about how they feel around mealtime, and have an open conversation about the boundaries that need to be there, right? Like, you focus on your food and I'll focus on mine, right? And I have to interject with my kids too, you know. They'll try to food police each other, and it's not what needs to happen. I fully trust that my children know their bodies and they know how to eat. Now, some of their food policing is coming from another home where they'll eat. So it's a tough thing to balance when I know the research, I know what works, and then I kind of can only support them in half of their life versus the other half. But I have to trust that that support is going to be something that helps them have this good emotional connection to eating and form these healthy, lifelong, intuitive eating habits, right? So those are things that can affect the atmosphere, right? So there is chaos, tension, if people are arguing, is there enough food available, or people criticizing. At the end of the day, we all deserve to have an emotionally healthy and happy eating environment. Okay, so maybe you can't start with each of those. Maybe you can't say, you know, the table's cleared, there's no chaos in the morning, you know, the tension is gone. Obviously, if there's tension in the house, it can't be resolved, you know, just with one change often, right? So pick what you could focus on and try to implement that. Like, pick one thing at a time, you know, and change one thing at a time. And just get curious about some of the things that affect that emotional atmosphere too. So I had a client today I was speaking with around intuitiveness and intuitive eating, and just being curious about the fact that they could overeat at night. And as they described it themselves, word for word, I sit for that 1 hour and I stuff as much food as I can in that 1 hour every night. It's in their office by themselves watching TV. So again, we know there's distraction there. But we want to get to what is that habit serving, right? How is that serving them? And today we didn't even get, like, that's not where we're focused. We focus on other activities and other healthy habits during the day. And then we're just going to pay attention and get curious about that, right? So we don't have to change everything all at one time. The other thing you can think about when this satisfaction factor and the emotional connection is, think about like what your favorite foods are, who you enjoy eating with, where you enjoy eating, and try to enhance or enjoy those experiences more often if you can. Eat with the people that you like to eat with. Eat the foods that you like to eat, right? Enjoy the atmosphere, you know, somewhere different maybe sometimes. So there's those things to consider too. And that can increase that ultimate satisfaction factor, right? Because if we're not satisfied, even if we think we are, if we aren't, then we tend to go back to eat more or eat something different, right? Because we didn't get that satisfaction. So it's full, you know, mind body experience to think about this satisfaction factor. It lets you, you know, have the freedom to pick what you want with your taste buds. Remember, you know, taking, you know, really paying attention to that first one or two bites, like that's often all we need to get that satisfaction, right? Then that taste diminishes over time. So that's where I'll probably go in the next session with that client I had today about them stuffing that food in, right? We're going to get to like that experience of actually just eating and just really paying attention. And when does that taste bud, you know, stop enjoying the food? Because they actually said that at some point, yeah, it's kind of when my taste buds are done, I just stop. But I would argue that if there was more intentioned focus at the beginning of that eating episode, that point's going to be a lot earlier than 1 hour, right? Yeah, so you want to make sure that you're able to pick foods that you enjoy. And then, like, we don't want to have guilt around food, right? Because that diminishes that satisfaction factor too. So I want you to really think about, oh, all these things influence that satisfaction factor and how you can do one thing today to improve the satisfaction at your meal. It could be eating slower. It could be the eating environment, the emotional environment that you're eating in. There's so many different things that can influence our satisfaction, right? It could be removing distraction. It could be having a food that's previously been off limits. I want you some way today to take a step to have one meal or one snack that is like high on your satisfaction quotient, right? And see how you do with that. All right, in the next chapter, in the next principle, principle number 7, we're going to go deeper into coping with your feelings using food. And I'm probably going to incorporate some of my emotional eating certification facilitator with the intuitive eating principle number 7, cope with your feelings without using food. Okay, so tune in to the next episode if you want to hear more about that. As usual, thanks so much for joining me. If you've enjoyed this episode, if you have a friend that might enjoy it, please feel free to share it with them, and I will talk to you guys soon. That's it for today's episode of Healthy Mompreneurs Get Wealthy podcast with Kathy Richards, RD. If you found this helpful and you have a friend who may also find it useful, feel free to share it with them. And don't forget, every month I'm going to draw one lucky reviewer who leaves a review on my podcast, who screen shares it with me on Instagram in my stories, or in their stories. One lucky reviewer will receive one free 60-minute intensive with me, where we'll get down to the nitty-gritty and figure out that one thing that's keeping you stuck from achieving your health and wellness goals. All right, thanks for listening, and tune in next week for my latest episode.